Welcome to People Are Saying Podcast. I'm your host, Sumerity Botson, and this afternoon I have with me Karen Royce, who is the president of the board of directors for Neighbor to Neighbor in Greenwich, Connecticut. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you, Sue, and I want to say congratulations on launching your podcast, People Are Saying.
Thank you.
I'm very impressed.
Thank you. Well, Karen, you must know that you are a longtime mentor to me. I've always admired you and the work that you do in Greenwich, not just with Neighbor to Neighbor, which we'll get into, but I put you in a category of the Jedi Knights of Junior League of Greenwich. And if you know, you know. And if you don't, you're about to find out about what Karen Royce is all about. So you're here today to talk about Neighbor to Neighbor, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year, which is absolutely incredible. So why don't we start with what Neighbor to Neighbor is and how it started 50 years ago.
Okay. A group of women got together in 1975 when they were concerned about a lot of social issues and social justice issues, although I'm not sure that was a term back then, that were going on, and they decided that they wanted to do something about it, and they established Neighbor to Neighbor with the idea that neighbors had things that they could give to neighbors that didn't have things. There were no budget, there were no paid employees.
It was an idea.
Mary Catan is the only person still in town who was of that starting group. And she was Mary Smith back then. And then it just grew and morphed and changed over time. And Christchurch gave Neighbor to Neighbor the basement in the annex building to start with.
And it started with not just food, per se.
It really wasn't food. It was really household items that people didn't need and other people did need. They were moving into town, and people went around and collected furniture. Clothing was from the beginning. We halted clothing during COVID because we had to move around. We were the vagabonds. Right. And we're working to get clothing back in some fashion. People are always asking me about clothing, and it will come back in some fashion, probably mostly just for children.
Okay, so you said Neighbor started as a concept. Neighbor to Neighbor started a concept in 1975. And I think there's such a misconception about Greenwich and that we are this wealthy town and there's no need here. But clearly, even back in 1975, there was a clear need that had these group of women come together and say, we have a problem and we are going to solve this problem. So
isn't it amazing how many times that's happened in Greenwich that women have come together to solve problems?
Absolutely.
We are lucky in that way in our town.
We are. We are incredibly lucky. So when did the shift to food occur?
In 1984, what was then the Department of Social Services, which is now the Department of Human Services,
right,
came to Neighbor and asked that Neighbor to Neighbor start distributing food on a weekly basis. And paper bags, grocery bags were packed with food, and clients came to collect them. And they exchanged things out in the parking lot of what I got and you want and I don't want. And we would find, I wasn't there then, but they would find cans. It was all shelf-stable food, cans in the bushes that nobody wanted. But that's how it started, and it stayed that way until we were able to open the Client Choice Pantry in 2006.
And the need for food insecurity in the area is something, again, that people would not particularly associate with Greenwich or Fairfield County. And I think it's pretty startling to hear the stats that over 10% of the county is food insecure. That's actually close to, I'm not a good math person, but it's close to 100,000 people. And in the state of Connecticut, 10% are food insecure. But the state only provides about $1 million in support for food programs. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, there's always lobbying to try to get it higher, and there is federal support.
Right.
But yes.
And so here in Greenwich, how many people, clients, would you say that Neighbor to Neighbor is serving right now?
We are now serving, it depends on whether you're looking at families or at individuals. But if you look at individuals on a monthly basis, it's about 1,800. In January, it was 1,784. And when you translate that to families, it's 686.
Wow.
And these people are working, these families are working people. There's, I think, also a misconception that it's somehow a handout. And they're all working people, other than seniors and people who have disabilities who are living on a very low fixed income, who also partake
right.
in what we provide. But it's largely families who are raising children and they can't make ends meet.
Right. So you talked about, sunsetting the clothing component, which happened pre-COVID, right?
No, it happened overnight with COVID.
Overnight with COVID. Okay. And so you had to halt that.
When the church campus had to shut down, then we found other places. But
right.
we could only do food, and obviously food was the most pressing need for
right.
people.
And you took your show on the road. And
we absolutely took our show on the road.
You went to Arch Street Teen Center, I believe.
Then we went out to the Congregational Church at John.
North Greenwich, right?
North Greenwich. And then we went to, I guess you would call it the fire department, that temporary building that was put up sort of across from the Boys and Girls Club. And that was the last place that we operated out
okay.
of.
So all three of those places you were still you were during COVID.
Yeah, we never, I think we shut down for 1 week maybe to get to move, and that was it.
Distributing food.
I'm very proud of what we did during COVID.
Right.
And almost all of it was delivered. There were a few people who couldn't accept deliveries, and they would come on Saturdays and pick up their it was pre-packed for people. They didn't get to choose what they wanted. I mean, I think they could indicate over the phone,
right.
but they didn't get to go in and choose. They had to pick up their bags on the driveway of the fire.
So the choosing, you call that client choice, right? The client choice approach. And I remember before COVID shut down and when you were in at Christ Church, not in your current location, which we'll talk about, though, that clients would come and essentially shop. Is that
yes.
Yeah, they came would
in,
come in.
In 2006, we saw this being done in New York City, and so we decided, we negotiated with the church, lobbied with the church, and got a second basement in the another building next door to where we were operating. And we set it up with shelves and
like a grocery store.
Used a nutritionist to help us with what families needed and a point system based on the size of the family. That's still what we use. And so people have points to spend. They don't spend money, but they spend their points on cereal, peanut butter, lots of fresh produce, protein.
And you were, is Neighbor assisted by Department of, now it's Human Services, in setting up that point system, or are they regulated?
We've consulted with a nutritionist
okay.
More than once since then, but we used a nutritionist who I think, as I remember, they've given their time to do it.
Right.
Human Services does give us the money to be able to deliver food to shut-ins and people who aren't able to get to Neighbor to
come. Yeah, wonderful. I know I told you this story, when my youngest son was in middle school, he and his buddies, he had a couple of buddies whose their birthdays were all around the same time, which is early February. And the moms, we looked at each other and we said, okay, the last thing these kids need are more Pokemon cards or, you know, Nintendo games. So we had a joint birthday party for them, and we asked for non-perishable donations, and then we filled up our cars and brought them to Neighbor to Neighbor. Christian was not happy with me, but I will tell you, we brought them into where the food shopping was occurring so that they could see firsthand what impact they were having and how they were helping people. And I think it's really
fantastic.
It was very, very powerful lesson for 11-year-olds at that time.
Because they also, you know, they see their friends, they don't understand or comprehend the scope of what's going on with some of their classmates.
Correct. You've had over the years just this very strong connection to Christchurch from the beginning, right? From the beginning, they
gave us the basement of the annex to operate and never, ever charged us rent for it and, you know, supported us in any other way that they could. And still, Christchurch Outreach gives us a generous grant every year. But we are a separate 501c3
from them. Tell me about how the capital campaign started to build the new facility. I know that you were in the thick of it right from the beginning.
And well, first, Pam Kelly, who's also is a former president of the board and a church member, was the one who spearheaded convincing the vestry and the leadership at the church to give us the land. And once the church voted in June of 2014 to go ahead with the concept of this, then we started raising money. And we were extremely lucky because Alexandra Cohen read about it in an article that Ann Sims wrote for the Greenwich Time about that church meeting. And she didn't cold call us, but the foundation cold called us. And that was the beginning. And they gave us a very generous donation and they gave us a matching gift. And so we started out with sort of money in the bank.
Right.
And then we went from there to raise almost $5 million.
Which is incredible. So how long did the construction actually take to build that? And it's a modular, is that correct?
It's remembering it? Yeah, they came in, it's sort of like the elephants coming to town, although elephants aren't in circuses anymore. But in the middle of the night,
these
came in, oversized came in. Loads came through. And you know, they didn't all come at once. Yeah. They came in waves. It's quite a production to get permission to do that and everything. But then after you get the modular, you have to put them together. And you have to do the whole interior. So that took another, I would say, maybe year and a half. And then then COVID, obviously we couldn't open until COVID was really lifted.
Right.
So we opened in September of 2022.
And the space is over 6,000 square feet, is that correct? And when you opened, Karen, I have to imagine what that must felt like for you walking in there. It must have, I mean, more than a pinch me moment, it just must have been so gratifying.
It was, and it was so, I actually snuck in there with the then executive director when it was under construction, but we got caught by the, by the construction manager. It was sort of funny. But
and did you say, do you know who I am?
We just left. He was not pleased, because it was a safety issue, I guess.
Right.
But no construction was happening then. It was late. It was after hours. But the light that came in the rooms, just, you know, the basement was dark.
Right.
And the light that comes in those windows is just unbelievable. But I was thinking about this question, and to take something that was on a piece of paper and have it come alive as a 3D reality is an unbelievable feeling. You think you know what it's going to be like, and it's just so much better.
Yeah, and the feeling.
It's so much better for our clients, for our staff, for our volunteers, for our visitors. It was tough where we were before. And as we got bigger and bigger, it got tougher and tougher because it got more crowded in the basements.
Right. And it took quite some years. It's not, this was.
We got the church voted in 14.
Yeah.
It took a while to get to that vote, and we opened in 22.
Right. So a very long time. And when you drive by it now, do you still get the same, I see a big smile on your face. And I feel,
I ask people to go see it and visit it. And I can see a little bit of it from the mezzanine of the church bookstore of Dogwood Books. And I'm always very happy when I go up
when
there
you
and see
it. Yeah. So I was, as you may remember, I was a small part of the Glenville School rebuild. And I drive by it. School every day. That's on my way home, on wherever I go, I have to drive by that school, and it doesn't get old. I'm going to tell you, it does not.
I never really understood the allure of bricks and mortar, so to speak.
Right.
And then I did something at the, what's now the Greenwich Botanical Center, back in the early 90s. And then I said, now I get it. There's this incredible sense of pride, and it, you know it's going to be there for a long time.
Right, and the impact that you're having. So let's talk about the 50th anniversary of Neighbor to Neighbor. And the kind of food available that's in the pantry right now. And I'm guessing that that has evolved, obviously, over the years since, you know, 1984,
when it
first started. Yeah. Okay. There's a focus on healthy foods, specifically fresh fruits and vegetables. So we're steering away from those not those non-perishables you found in the bushes that nobody wanted. And you're going towards healthy options for
if anyone
people.
Knows a good deal on eggs, please let us
know.
Oh,
yeah.
Because that's been a real staple of what we offer.
Right.
We offer frozen meat and fish for protein, but we also offer eggs, which obviously is tough right now.
And I think I saw either yesterday or this morning, Lori Jackson, who's one of your colleagues and a friend of both of ours, had posted if people have empty egg crates to keep them and to
cartons
to
drop them off.
And drop them off. So I want to ask you, do people have chickens that are laying eggs that you are?
It's more that we buy in bulk.
Oh, I understand.
And then
package them. I thought Lynn was giving you some of her eggs.
No, she gives them to me.
Okay, there you go.
I don't think that her hens do enough for
there. Okay.
My knowledge, we do not accept eggs.
But you buy in bulk, so you need these then to distribute individually to people. Okay, we're gonna promote that because I think that people can help in that. That's a very easy. I have two cartons of eggs sitting in my refrigerator right now, and one's almost empty. So I'll put it aside for you.
But you could also give us a carton full of eggs.
There you go. Okay. I looked on your website and noticed that there's a list of local providers, including farms in the area. And the statistics are really impressive. Tell me about this partnership with these farms.
And also just local gardeners, the Greenwich Land Trust, the garden community gardens sets aside plots where people grow only for neighbor to neighbor. Putnam Cottage just started a vegetable garden in the back to provide for neighbor to neighbor. So it's it's organized farms, but it's also a lot of local people.
That's really cool.
And the farmers market in Old Greenwich, when we go at a little bit before 6, they always give us bags of food. And I'm sure the one on Saturdays would also, but we're not open again till Monday, so it just, the timing doesn't work.
Right, not good timing. Tell me about the supplemental food program. What is that?
When students aren't in school during the summertime, they are not getting their free or reduced meals. And so the summer supplement is for families that have school-aged children, so they get more food in the summertime because they need it.
Right.
And it's proven to be very helpful to families.
Nice. Okay, let's dig a little deeper into financial stats. Read that Neighbor to Neighbor has received $3 million in contributions. And out of this amount, $1.5 million came in the form of food, clothing, and other goods, while another $1.1 million was given as individual monetary donations. And then the remaining funds were contributed to you by other organizations. This is three times the amount that the state provides, which is absolutely impressive. Very, very impressive.
Now, this is not on an annual basis.
Right.
These are our reserves.
Okay.
And I have to say, sadly, during the pandemic, not sadly, we benefited because we were the cause du jour, because when times are tough, people really worry about people having enough to eat.
Right.
People were incredibly generous during that period of time. Right. And so we have built up reserves that in your leaner years, we'll be able to use.
So if someone listening to this podcast wants to be helpful to neighbor, let's talk about some of the ways that people can be helpful.
Obviously, you can make a financial donation. You have to say that first. I'm an amateur fundraiser.
I disagree, but you are not an amateur.
Well, I've never been paid for being a fundraiser, okay. But I do like doing it.
Yeah.
And you can go on the website, ntngreenwich.org, and hit the donate button. You can bring a check in.
Donor Advisor Fund
directed. Yeah. Now I'm at the age where I have to either take or distribute IRA money. So required distributions also are welcome. You can also volunteer. On the website, there's a volunteer button and there's a form to fill out and you'd be contacted and we have an orientation. People volunteer on a weekly basis, but we also have a list of people who can't commit to weekly that we call when a lot of people are sick or when we know it's going to be very busy because it's a holiday week and we're closing a day or two earlier than we usually do.
Right.
So, and in addition to that, you can bring us food. You can have your own physical food drive, and you can also have a virtual food drive among friends or a club or a group, and we would help you set that up through Give Healthy. So then people say, oh, I'm buying 10 dozen eggs, and that's what they pay for, but Give Healthy keeps them off-site for us, and we can pick them up or have them delivered when we need them.
What a great idea. So it just popped into my head. We have a holiday party every year, and I think that next year, in lieu of people bringing me a candle, which I love candles, but I'm going to tell you, I have a box of 30 candles sitting in my garage right now. It would be much more impactful to set up this virtual food drive.
You don't have to deal with having us come pick the food up.
Right. That's incredible. All right, I'm going to link.
Our executive director is from Philadelphia and obviously a big Eagles fan. And he had a Super Bowl party and everybody brought boxes of cereal. And I think he had two big,
kind of
bins that laundry goes in a hospital or a hotel full of cereal to deliver.
Excellent. Great. Very creative. So donations, volunteer, food drives, either in person or virtual.
If you have an idea, you can call us and talk about it. Maybe you have an idea of how you can help neighbor to neighbor that we haven't thought of.
Right. Excellent. Okay. And in addition to food, you are now also doing personal hygiene items. Is that correct?
Yes. We did bed linens and clothing before the pandemic. New clothing that was seasonal, like coats or socks or we do backpacks for students in September. But then we realized, I don't know why it took us this long to figure it out, but we figured out during COVID that people's supplemental SNAP dollars can be spent on food, but they can't be spent on laundry detergent, shampoo, personal hygiene items. And so we started including some of those in people's bags during the pandemic, and then we moved into our new building. We had enough space to really set up an essentials room. So clients can come weekly for food, 3 days worth of food for each family member, and they can come monthly for the essentials room.
That's wonderful.
If you have toothpaste or shampoo, full size, we're not looking for little travel sizes or hotel sizes, but yes, that's also something
size.
Or if you have a connection in some way that could provide those things in bulk.
That would be wonderful. You talked about backpacks. So you do this for children August, September?
Yes, we do it in August, I think very end of August before school starts. We do it for our clients, but we also coordinate it for the town. So there isn't, people also do it for their clients, but we coordinate it so there isn't duplication.
Nice. And we both know, as we're both I would say professional volunteers, right?
I now call myself a community leader.
Okay, we can say that too. Professional community leaders. And volunteers are essentially the backbone of any nonprofit. And I'm guessing that you have an incredible, you already have an incredible group of individuals. Some of them have been with you a long time, I'm guessing.
Yes, they have. And some of them helped us all the way through the pandemic, which was really was hardship.
Yeah.
You can imagine there wasn't a lot of heat in the fire department garage. Volunteers are critical. I mean, we have a great staff, but we couldn't do the volume that we do without the volunteers.
Without the volunteers. So in celebration of your 50th anniversary, one thing that Neighbor to Neighbor is doing is an event on April 24th, and it's going to be at the Greenwich Hyatt, and you are headlining
Marcus Samuelson, who is quite an interesting person.
And have you met him in person?
No, but I did a deep dive when he was mentioned. My friends who are foodies immediately knew who he was, but I didn't. And he's Ethiopian by birth, and he has a fascinating story. And not only does he have restaurants, and he came to the States, to New York City, to be the executive chef for Aquavit. That was his entree into the U.S. And he has restaurants in Manhattan and all over the world, really. But he also is a very philanthropic person. He's the first speaker that I know of that we've had where we had to fill out a form and answer questions about who we were or who we are, and he looked at our website. But it wasn't just that we could pay the fee. He wanted to know who we were.
He vetted you.
He vetted us. And I don't think, maybe that's happened before, but not that I've known of. And we're also awarding Jen Denali, who's the director for the Center for Public Good at Greenwich Country Day, who has been a stalwart for Neighbor to Neighbor. I mean, before we opened on Saturdays, she and a couple of leader volunteers, she and her students would come in on Saturdays and fill bags of food for people.
Yeah, she is a force of nature, Jen. She really is.
And like you exposed your son and his friends, she has exposed so many, many students at Country Day to that you get so much more than you expect, and that you get back so much more than you give when you do any of these kinds of things. And I want to say about volunteers that we also have a lot of student volunteers. We're open Wednesday and Thursday afternoons, and students who either have community service hours that they want credit for or just want to volunteer are the
they can come.
Staple.
Interesting. Okay, good.
And we have a supervisor who likes teens and who supervises those groups. And then on Saturdays, we have some students, and we have groups that come and volunteer more on Saturdays than regular volunteers.
So you're honoring Jen. Is this the first honoree that you have, or have you done this in the past?
For our 40th anniversary, we honored, but we didn't give an award, to Betty Sheridan, who was joined Neighbor to Neighbor as a volunteer in the second year, 1976. So she's sort of our mother figure.
Right.
And we honored her at the 40th, but we have never given an award again. And I've for a long time have wanted to do this for the 50th and call it the Good Neighbor Award. And I don't think there's anyone in town more worthy of it than
Jen. I agree. That's really lovely. And so information's on your website on how to purchase tickets or sponsorship. Is it this, in the past you've done a luncheon, but this...
No, this is at 5:30 in the evening.
This is an evening event.
So it's a cocktail party, and then everybody will go into the part of the ballroom and hear us speak, hear Marcus speak, hear Jen be awarded. And I'm really honored that Jen accepted the award, because Jen is not someone who...
She is not.
She's not interested in awards, so I feel very honored that she said yes.
Right. Well, she clearly believes very strongly in your mission.
Bonnie Levison, who people may know, who's of the Moth and an incredible storyteller, is our MC. Great. I feel she's going to be fun.
She will really be fun. She is really fun.
We're going to have an auction of one or two very, very special things, and we'll have the ubiquitous text to give.
Right.
And
is the menu Marcus Samuelson inspired?
That's not something I'm really know about.
Okay.
In the past, we have had these events at clubs, and they've agreed to do one dish from we've had cookbook writers in the past and other chefs. And so I don't know whether the Hyatt is open to doing that. So
stay tuned on that.
To be found out. But it will be heavy cocktails, I mean, heavy hors d'oeuvres and a cocktail hour. And for a certain price, you can come to the meet and greet and actually meet Marcus.
All right. I have to ask you, you're involved in so many charities and organizations in town. And I met you through the Junior League of Greenwich, but that's just one of many. How did Karen Royce get involved with Neighbor to Neighbor?
When I was the president of the Junior League, which was in 99, 2000, talk about a sweating it out New Year's. I didn't really think anything was going to happen, but a lot of people did. New member who was going through the new member class, Julie Ricciardi, whose mother is Betty Sheridan, wanted the provisional class to do a special project and do a strategic plan for Neighbor to Neighbor. Well, that isn't quite how the provisional project works.
And back then, that's the new member class, what we call the new member class now. But back when I joined you were provisional, a provisional member.
So I had been a member of Christ Church by then for several years, and I had seen, I always called them the blue-haired ladies. I mean, I had seen these women and men working with their head down, and they had index cards, and they sort of never looked up to shine their light. And I was so excited that someone wanted to do a strategic plan, because I could see that would make the community more aware. You could sort of see where it might take it.
Right.
And so a woman on the board was retired from McKinsey, and she was our parliamentarian, Joanne Williams, and I asked her if she would do a special project. I made up a special presidential project. I'm very good at bending the rules a little bit. I think I might be actually known for that. I don't think that's a big
really
secret.
Great.
And so she did a strategic plan, and that's how I got involved. And I have to say, the first time I met with the board and we went over the strategic plan, it was so typical of change, people not liking change. Oh, we can't do that. Oh, we can't do that. I left the house that I was at thinking, they're never going to use this strategic plan. But Julie persevered and her mom persevered. And I would say the rest is history. And we've done several strategic plans since then. So that's how I got involved. And then I was asked to be on the board. And I've been president before, and I'm president this year.
And
I love it. It's so direct. It's not complicated. It's a very straightforward mission. I wish we had gone out of business. I mean, because I wish we didn't have the issue that we have, but we have it. And we are very straightforward in how we provide for people. And it's not complicated.
Right.
Whereas a lot of other organizations are more complicated. This is very straightforward.
Right. And I love that Junior League, the Junior League of Greenwich, and Neighbor to Neighbor, even though they're neighbors, right, across the street, they still, aside from that, the, you know, geography of it, they have such a special, still have such a special connection.
Baby bundles for newborn mothers. Junior League has done a tremendous number of things with us.
Right. So I feel like when you drive down the post road, either direction, and you come to that point of the post road, US 1, for people who don't know that that's a post road, Neighbor and Junior League are directly across the street from one another, and it's like you are driving through magic right there.
I think that whole block is one of the most powerful blocks in our town, because it's the Junior League, it's the YWCA, it's the Temple Shalom, it's Christ Church, and it's Neighbor to Neighbor. And Putnam Cottage is also there. It's just, there's
and then you add in Coffee for Good, Breast Cancer Alliance, Greenwich Alliance for Education. You are right. It really is a...
You know, we used to be in the second floor above Coffee for Good when it was Act Two was there.
Right.
And then
right.
we were lucky enough to be able to buy the building from the Red Cross and be where we are now.
Right. That's Junior League. You're talking Junior League.
Yes, I'm
now.
Sorry.
Yes. No problem. So speaking of magic, you are magical, and I thank you so much for being on my podcast and talking about Neighbor to Neighbor and their 50th anniversary and this wonderful event you're doing on April 24th.
Yes, please come.
April 24th.
I think it's going to be really, really special.
Marcus Samuelson is a gifted chef. I did not know his background. I look forward to learning more about him. And is there anything else that you want to talk about?
Well, I want to say thank you.
Of course.
Because it's easy to talk about something that you've been involved with for a long time and have a great passion for.
I agree. Karen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sue.